vessels, end quote. Well, it is true that Iranian ships are headed this way, not 57. But according to Admiral Afshin Haddad, the vessels have already entered the Atlantic Ocean via waters near South Africa. Haddad says that the fleet is approaching U.S. maritime borders for the very first time. It's only about 14 miles from the East Coast. So why would Iran do this? I'll explain right after this. The destruction of constitutional liberties and endless foreign wars. The voice of the people silenced, while lawmakers simply enrich themselves and the political class. I'm Ben Swan. It isn't about left versus right. No, the real fight is liberty versus tyranny. At BenSwan.com, we are breaking the left-right paradigm. We know that the American two-party system is broken, and that to restore American liberty means to restore your rights as an individual. At BenSwan.com, we cover stories the national media won't touch, from the National Defense Authorization Act to nullification, militarization of police, and crony capitalism. We are not afraid to stand up for the rights of the people. We are the face of new media. BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics. So what is true about these Iranian warships headed to the East Coast? Well, first of all, it doesn't appear to be 57, but actually two vessels. One is a smaller frigate, which will carry about 30 naval cadets. The other is a supply ship. But they will remain on this mission for about 3 months. Now, what is interesting about this story are the internet stories of how the Iranians are coming to war, how they're coming to the East Coast, how 57 ships are headed away. How could we allow them so close to U.S. waters? And yet, when you consider the reason for Iran sending their ships this way, Iran is protesting the U.S. Navy deploying ships into the Persian Gulf, which we've been doing for some time. The U.S. Navy's Fifth Fleet is based in Bahrain, just across the Persian Gulf from Iran. And the U.S. conducts regular exercises in the Persian Gulf, just in case. Exercises that we in the U.S. would be enraged by if the Iranians were doing them in waters so close to us. Now keep in mind, one of these ships the Iranians are sending over was almost destroyed by a U.S. fighter jet in 1988. Some media reports have referred to these ships as being nothing more than rust buckets, hardly a threat to the United States. As for the claim that the Obama administration wants to attack these ships if the dollar fails, well, that is based much more in fantasy than anything else. For stories that affect your liberty, you can find me online at BenSwan.com, where humanity is greater than politics.
Whew. Nice shoot. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yeah, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30 money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. CoQ10 with Hawthorn. Glucosamine Chondroitin. Sea Cucumber. Colloidal Minerals. Superfam and Supale Plex. Cold Enhancer. Our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D. MSM Sulfur Capsules. And Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Developed and made by U.S. Army Special Forces soldiers, Spartan Blades are the professional-grade combat utility knife. The preferred knives of those who go into harm's way, Spartan Blades endeavors to create knives that will last a lifetime and beyond. To find out more, go to SpartanBladesUSA.com. Whether you are a law enforcement professional, outdoorsman, or just appreciate craftsmanship and a cutting tool, Spartan Blades endeavors to make knives that will get the task done. Spartan Blades, knives with intent.
Shall not be infringed, shall not be infringed, shall not be infringed.
Shall not be infringed. From the nation's Second Amendment watchdog, anti-gunners, get ready for the pain. The misinformation is over because this is the blunt object. From Gun Owners of America, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady. Bill Frady.
As we go into the second hour and my voice cracks on a Tuesday, this is Lock and Load. Number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. Michigan. A lot of big changes have happened in Michigan. They're a right-to-work state now. They're almost going to be able to legally own SBRs and stuff. And in Detroit, they have a police chief who doesn't answer to anybody right now. And he has gotten out there and said, an armed populace will deter crime. Joining me, who had his catharsis into what he does by being a victim of crime, from Detroit, from Legally Armed in Detroit, and Rick's Firearms Academy, is Rick Ector. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you doing on this fine day?
I'm doing okay. I'm having a real good day. I've gotten to rant a little bit.
That's always good in the morning.
Yeah, it is. It's like just clears my mind. In Detroit right now, you are having a unprecedented run of defensive gun use.
We've had quite an interesting week and a half, about a 10-day period. You know, there were four separate self-defense cases in which the selected victim was lawfully armed with a firearm and, you know, quite frankly, legally defended themselves against predators. In one case, there were just one predator, and in the others, there were at least two. So it's been a really good week in terms of, good week, 10 days, in terms of individuals being able to hear and to see these stories and to get the details and to put to rest any concerns that it was remotely impossible for law-abiding citizens to defend themselves. You know, if we just take...
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I just wanted to ask, like, we've seen that lady, that video's made the rounds, the lady that defended herself with the High Point carbine.
Right, yeah, that was the first story that came out.
When that happened, do the Detroit police typically take the gun of the defendant?
Well, you know, it's standard operating procedure for them to take it, you know, for some period of time for... you know, at least to conduct their investigation. Once they've effectively have cleared, you know, the person of any wrongdoing, you know, it's expected that they will return it, you know, to the homeowner. So hopefully, you know, in all of these cases in which the would-be victim has been, you know, cleared or the cases in which the police have pretty much all but, you know, made assurances and statements to the media, you know, the general public by way of the media, that it appears that everything was okay. I'm not certain if, you know, in every case they have to at least run it by the prosecutor to see if they want to mull any charges. But from the four stories over the last 10, 11 days, they look pretty much like textbook cut and dry. You know, the first case you talked about was the mom who was at home with three of her own children, and apparently they have had some issues with their property with people either damaging property or previously attempting break-in, and her husband, you know, God bless him, he provided her with one of those evil so-called assault weapons that they that is subject to being banned in New York under the SAFE Act, but it was a High Point what was, no, it was a Kel-Tec carbine rifle that she used, and she successfully chased those guys off her property. You know, they kicked in her door, and, you know, she actually did them a favor by trying to at least announce to these guys that she had a firearm. And incredulously enough, these guys said, no, 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 you don't have a gun. We're coming in anyway. And she successfully chased them off. None of them were hit. None of them died. But, you know, another miracle, you know, they actually called the local police, and they actually apprehended them a short time thereafter. So apparently they were still close by. And then the second story that comes to mind during this 11-day window was a woman who was coming home in the evening. She parked her car in the garage, and she was on her way up a driveway, and then she was accosted by two guys, and there was apparently at least one gun. She was able to distract these guys by tossing her keys, and she drew her gun, and she hit one guy 7 times. And he's permanently retired, and his accomplice took off. And as far as I know, he's still at large. And then we had the other story where there was a guy over in the southwest side of town. Two guys armed with a tire iron decided that they were going to, you know, do a home invasion. The homeowner shot both of the guys, reportedly. One guy died, and the other guy with a wound somewhere is still at large. And then the last story, you know, a woman here on the west side of town, she was at home, and some young guy took a brick and broke out a window and was in the process of coming in. And like the first story we talked about, she at least mentioned to this guy, look, I have a gun and you don't want to come in. And you know what? Brazenly enough, they must have thought the homeowners were bluffing. He attempted to come in and she defended herself, and he's also permanently retired. So over the last 11, 12 days, man, we've had some really positive stories about homeowners. And get this, 3 of these stories involve women. So at least on some level, we see an affirmation that these bad guys are still going after women. And in these 3 out of 4 cases, these women were armed, they were prepared, and they handled business, and they protect their homes and themselves.
The lady with the keys, I would love to, if that was just her, or if somebody told her to do that, whoever did that, however that came about, that was genius. That was genius.
Yeah. You know, the old misdirection. And you've really seen some of that in that Chicago video. You ever check out that Chicago off-duty police officer at the Citadel gas station in Chicago that came out maybe
the one that shot the guy point blank?
Right.
I watched the video. I didn't see what he did to get their attention off of him, though.
Yeah, you know, he offered up his wallet, and as he was offering up his wallet, he did a move that we call blading, you know, like the blade of a knife. You hold it one way and you see how wide it is.
Right.
And then you rotate it and then it becomes thin because you're looking at it from the side view. Well, he effectively bladed his body, man. And the way that he bladed his body was that his rear side that had the firearm was hitting to the bad guy. And once he had his opportunity, as he was offering up his wallet, he instantly whipped it out surreptitiously and was able to defend himself.
Yeah, that one guy that was close to him, he went down quick and hard. We're coming up on the first break. When we get back, I presume you got the article I sent you yesterday.
Yeah, I took a look at it, and it was very interesting. You know, I think she got a few, when I say she, the author, didn't really go into either a lot of detail as to what she was talking about, or, you know, heaven forbid she was trying to be intentionally misleading. But, you know, if you want to go into that now, we can. Or,
well, we're coming up on the break. I want to talk about that when we get back. And then I want to come back to this because of the point she's making and the fact that, especially in Detroit's case, that's just not right. You hang on,
you know,
if you will,
something
please.
About the truth. You just can't get away from it sometimes.
It's just white hot, and it's the light of day, and whichever other cliche you want to throw in there. But you hang on. If you're in Detroit and you don't know about Rick's Firearms Academy, Rick has trained hundreds, if not thousands, of people. He trains women for free. Probably, I'm just trying to figure out which one of the, probably the woman with the keys is one of his students, and he just doesn't remember her. He probably taught the trick with the keys. Legally armed in Detroit. In addition to training people how to do it, Rick is an activist. He's an author. He is all over the place. And you need to check him out. Check out his Facebook page. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
Keenly aware of the similarity between tactical and competitive training, the Shooter Source fuses the two worlds together. Their product line is based on speed of movement, and the Shooter Source caters to both the three-gun competitor and the tactical operator. The Shooter Source specializes in the cutting-edge tools for any shooter of any discipline. See them on the range or online. Find out how at theshootersource.com. The Shooter Source, one philosophy encompassing all.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
War Sport introduces the LVOA AR. This highly anticipated rifle is the embodiment of the low visibility operation concept. Made and designed in the USA, the LVOA combines mil-spec and specially designed features, bringing a flat-shooting, extremely durable AR from concept to reality. To find out more, go to lvoa.us. War Sport, making function and reliability on an extreme level. This is only the beginning.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Recognizing that America's most valuable resource is in their care, PNW Arms has forever changed the face of weapons science. Relentlessly pursuing research and development, PNW Arms is driven by exactitude. They have applied their collaborative skills, advancing ballistic science to a degree unimagined, both in existing ammunition potential and in creations yet to come. To find out more, go to pnwarms.com. At PNW Arms, their mission is nothing less than to change the face of the shooting industry forever.
Now, more pounding from the blunt object.
And welcome back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. Talking to Rick Ector, Rick's Firearms Academy in Detroit, legally armed in Detroit. Trainer of... have you ever counted how many people you've trained?
You know, I used to years and years ago, but as I continued to train and train, it became less important to me, you know, personally. You know, I know that I'm out here constantly on a regular basis every other week, you know, whether I'm doing full-fledged concealed carry classes or if I'm, you know, participating in community events in which I'm bringing in like over 100 ladies at a time and teaching them how to shoot and operate a firearm for free. You know, it's a lot. Definitely hundreds, if not thousands, a couple of thousands.
How long you been doing it?
Going on 8 years now.
It's got to be more than that, Rick.
It's got to be more than that. Like yesterday, man. But yeah, I've been doing this for a while, and what's really an eye-opening moment for me is when I get a call from students who say, "Hey, I'm up for a renewal. You know, my 5 years are up, and I want to know exactly what I have to do to reapply." And I'm like, wow. And I specifically remember, you know, people. Some people are just memorable, you know, particularly after you spend a lot of time with them on a day. And I'm like, has it really been 5 years? And they go, yeah. And they say, yeah, it just seems like yesterday. Time flies.
And just so everybody knows, what is your carry weapon of choice?
Oh, Smith & Wesson, semi-auto, 9mm. I'm most comfortable with it. It fits me just right. Fits my hand like a glove. It's a full-size handgun. It's very versatile. It's reliable, and it gets the job done.
You carry the M&P?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, about this little article, one of the things that a lot of people put out there, well, not a lot of people, a lot of people that don't like stand your ground laws. Okay. First of all, I hate the fact that they had to, that there's different classifications of self-defense. I think if somebody comes up on you with a tire iron or a gun or whatever they're bringing to the fight, if they come up on you wherever you are and you're just sort of sitting there thinking, man, this cherry Coke Icy sure is good. And that's all you're doing, and somebody comes up on you, and they're going to try to commit a crime, and you don't know where it's going to go. As you say, if they get permanently retired by the person with the IC, I think that's just the way it happens. And well, so, but we do have these classifications. Well, we have stand your ground, and a lot of people say that that is that makes it allowable, especially in Florida. That's a big argument in Florida. In Florida, you can shoot first, claim self-defense. And a lot of times, it's these poor, innocent black Americans that are getting killed, and the white people get off with it. I mean.
Well, here's the thing, man. There is a big misunderstanding in terms of what actually stand your ground is. And as I read the article, you know, that we're both going to discuss, I'm not necessarily certain if there was an intentional effort to mislead, but. You know, in general, you know, and I'll talk about different facets of the law, but real quickly, you know, there's the Castle Doctrine. And the Castle Doctrine specifically covers you when you're at home. And this basically states that your home is your castle. You know, here in Michigan, the way our Castle Doctrine reads, it reads that if someone, you know, an invader, a stranger, someone that doesn't have a legal right to be there, if they break into your home, it is presumed as a matter of law that they have bad intentions and present a threat of imminent danger to you and your family, and that you can proceed to defend yourself, defend your home, and defend your family. In the article, the author was trying to say that stand your ground extends the Castle Doctrine out into the street. And I would say, based on the way she stated that and the way she tried to expound upon it, it was not accurate in my mind. Basically, stand your ground, you know, really isn't even self-defense. You know, let's just table stand your ground. Now, when you're outside of your home, you have a legal right to defend yourself. And in most states, like Florida, just like it is here in Michigan, you know, as long as you're anywhere you have a legal right to be, you're not engaged in a crime, you know, you're drinking that can of soda you just referenced, and this is the key point, if you have a reasonable and honest belief that you're facing an imminent threat of at least great bodily harm, sexual assault, or death, you have a right to defend yourself. Now, under, you know, a lot of states, and it used to be the case in Michigan, there was this so-called duty to retreat when you were eligible to use self-defense. So if it is reasonable for you to use self-defense, you know, a lot of people, you know, enacted stand your ground laws to determine, well, okay, what are you authorized to do if it is lawful for you to defend yourself? And in a lot of states, it used to be you had to run first, which was incredibly stupid, incredibly dangerous. someone pulls out a gun on you, like in one of the examples I mentioned today, you know, with the lady in the driveway after she parked the car, they pull a gun and they're pointing it at her head, and now she's got to turn her back and attempt to run. And if she does run, you know, is the prosecutor going to second-guess what direction she ran? You know, if she ran east, and maybe she had a greater chance if she had run west, is the prosecutor now going to charge her with a crime because she managed to use a gun, but she managed to run the wrong way, or she didn't run fast enough? You know, the focus is on the wrong person. The focus should be on the bad guy. You know, that guy presented a threat imminently of at least great bodily harm. Someone has a right to defend themselves without having to run first. And for people to say, you know, it fosters this shoot-first mentality, well, if the only two options are shooting and running, then, yeah, I would prefer you to shoot than run first. With respect to, you know, disproportionate or perceived issues with, say, one race hurting another race inappropriately, the statute addresses that. It's perfectly clear. Reasonable. The shooting has to be reasonable. And we look here at these four cases I mentioned here in Detroit. You know, we don't have white people, you know, indiscriminately shooting and killing black people. We have, pretty much here in Detroit, we have black homeowners defending black would-be assailants. And regardless of the color, whether they're the same or they're different, you know, it still has to follow the reasonable standard. Just can't indiscriminately shoot someone. It has to be reasonable. You not only need to be in fear, your fear needs to be reasonable. If we're talking about someone also in Florida who's shooting into an occupied vehicle with four people in it, you know, his shooting has to be reasonable. And I believe that looking at the facts as I saw them published, his shooting into that car was not reasonable. You know, so, you know, the fact that there are people out there that are trying to intentionally mislead people about what actually stands your ground is really disgusting. It's nothing more than if you are lawfully justified in defending yourself, do you have to run and risk injury and put the focus on the victim as opposed to the bad guy, or whether you have a right to immediately defend yourself?
Well, I didn't find Fred Bunn's actions. I have people drive up beside me all the time and serenade me with loud music. That's why I have a window. I roll my window up. I turn my music up a little louder. That's not a reason to engage with a weapon. To confront. But we're going into the next break. You hang on. We'll be right back. My guest today, Rick Ector, Rick's Firearms Academy, legally armed in Detroit on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aran. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aran process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Back. At Griffin Industries, the concept of good is never good enough. Combining extreme fit, function, and appearance, the Griffin Industries weapons and ammo carrying systems have taken the industry standard and turned it upside down. With an organic manufacturing process, Griffin Industries ensures tolerance and quality control with no equal. Flat rate shipping and rapid turnaround gets this superlative product in your hands and on your belt in no time. Visit GriffinIndustries.com. Griffin Industries, the 21st century solution.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorn, Glucosamine Chondroitin, Sea Cucumber, Colloidal Minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Salient Arms International. Salient Arms takes your weapons platform and refines the most important functioning features, enhancing your weapons reliability. An SAI enhanced platform is the epitome of excellence and will dominate competition, self-defense, or combat. Visually striking and engineered to its fullest potential, discover the SAI commitment to excellence. To find out more, go to salientarmsinternational.com. Salient Arms International. Innovation Cube.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
Hey, gun grabbers, do you feel the pain?
And welcome back. On a Tuesday, this is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. Used to join me a lot until I burned him out. But now I'm lucky because I got him back today because we're doing something specific. I'm joined again by Rick Hector from Rick's Firearms Academy, legally armed in Detroit, which means he's in Detroit. I'm sorry earlier, or last year, that I burned you out so bad, Rick.
No, it wasn't a question to burn me out. I had a few things going on, but man... always a pleasure to be on the show. Enjoyed being here. I think even one day, man, we had a gun rights rally up at the state capitol, and I knew if I was on the show, I wouldn't have been able to do that. You know, just a matter of timing. If you need me, want me, if the listeners think I can provide value, be happy to be there.
Roger that. I fully appreciate that, too. Now, we were talking about the way in Detroit, which I think Detroit is a good object study. If you had to guess percentile-wise, the people of Detroit, most of them are just law-abiding citizens that live in their house and go to their job and do whatever they can to live life, right? No matter what color or shade they are, right?
Yeah.
And there's not an exclusive cachet, to be sure, in Detroit to where only one particular look of criminals out there. I'm sure there's plenty of Caucasian and Asians and Hispanic criminals there too, right?
I mean, you know, to be quite honest, you know, I haven't really done any type of analysis on the so-called typical criminal. I can just give you a rough approximation of a demographic here. You know, the city is 70% African American, but that doesn't mean that 70% of necessarily of the criminals are black. But you know what? When I look at the news, to a great extent, and all true, you know, that's what you see. You know, make no mistake about it. You know, crime knows no boundaries, but by and large, it is what it is. We have a predominantly black city, and predominantly most of the criminals are black.
Well,
no issues there.
I'm not a sociologist. I know you actually probably done some stuff along those lines. That's for another show. In Detroit, you have, and we can, what term do you prefer? I like black American because I actually know a couple of African Americans from, you know, Soweto and Zimbabwe. And,
oh man, you know what? I'm of that older, middle-aged generation. I've always referred to it as black, but you know, some people, you know, got sensitive sensibilities and feel like that it's now passé and is outmoded and prefer African American. Black works for me, man.
Okay. Well, I like the term black American because that implies they're American. So anyway, that's just a descriptor. That's what I use if I'm looking for you at the Starbucks. I'm looking for Rick Hector. Could you describe him?
He's the
black American over there with the Smith & Wesson M&P-shaped bulge.
Okay.
That's how I would find you in the Starbucks where you hang out. So black Americans defend themselves on a regular basis, don't they? Legally.
Well, you know what? Well, there are some stats that are out there, man. Last year was not a real huge year for civilian self-defense in Detroit. I think the Detroit Police Department just published 15 justified homicides in Detroit. You know, just a few years ago, in 2012, we had like 35, and that represented more justified homicides than any other major urban area, and we were in fact the self-defense capital, you know, of the country. And you know, one of the great things about that, I guess, it's a silver lining in a dark cloud, is that even though we have our challenges here in the city of Detroit and we have a bad crime problem here, at least we have, you know, right to carry, we have concealed carry, open carry is legal. You know, individuals still have a right to defend themselves and not to use 911 as their first responder when a bad guy is either trying to carjack them, rob them in their driveway, rape them, drag them into an abandoned building, or whatever. We have the right and the ability to defend ourselves everywhere we have a legal right to go. And, you know, I'm not, you know, disparaging the police, but, you know, we're not issued one police officer at the start of our day every day to follow us around. And so, whereas when you call the police, they're minutes away, man, but you know what? In a lot of applications, that's not fast enough.
One thing that strikes me right now, and I'm looking at the last two times I've seen this. Now, maybe they did it and it just didn't catch my eye or didn't make the news. Maybe it made the news. So, because of who they were. But, I mean, the last two law enforcement officials I've seen that came out and said, get a weapon, learn how to use it, and defend yourself until we get there to you, were Sheriff David Clark out of Milwaukee and Chief Craig out of Detroit.
Yeah, you know what, now that you think about it, you know, and, yeah, I do remember Sheriff Clark. But, yeah, I think one of the real cool things about our new police chief, I'm not going to say he's 100% pro-gun because he hasn't really told us where he stands on all the other issues, you know, but he definitely is pro-concealed carry. He believes that good Americans armed with lawfully owned firearms, lawfully possessed firearms, can be a great deterrent for public safety for the individuals who are carrying that gun. That can drive down crime statistics, and he has definitely made the rounds both locally and in the national media stating that he's all four can still carry. Now, he's had some people try to, you know, decry or make some statements at some meetings afterwards, but he essentially doubled down. And it's really interesting, and it's unusual for a big city police chief to do that. But when you really look at the fact that he's not directly answerable to the mayor due to our city being in bankruptcy, and that he reports to the state-appointed emergency financial manager, I guess he has some leeway to do a lot of things the way he wants to. And based on his stated and published opinions on his experiences when he was a police chief in Maine, the state of Maine, you know, he saw, you know, the positive effects of people being armed and being able to take care of themselves. And he's brought that mindset and that belief system to Detroit. And as a pro-gun guy, you know, an activist, I love to see that.
Since these last few events have happened in Detroit, has it seemed like crime slowed down?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Growth industry.
You know, I mean, you know, I wish I could tell you that. You know, turn on the news, and the one big story that jumped off a day ago was a multiple shooting at a tax preparation business right in the heart of the city. I mean, and then there was a guy who got carjacked at a gas station and a few other things that happened. Make no mistake about it, we have some serious crime issues here. It's not necessarily something that, you know, we can solve, you know, on a one-hour show. You know, it's just some systemic issues that has causes that relate to breakdown of the family, education, opportunities, hopelessness, illiteracy. I mean, you pick a reason, it's a factor, but no, these self-defense stories that have been in the media have not slowed down crime. However, what I will say is that they have, at least from my experiences, have, you know, increased the volume of feedback and calls that I'm getting. More and more people are serious about getting armed, and they're responding. Hopefully, you know, there will come a time shortly when they're, you know, when we've reached a tipping point where so many people out here are armed that even more bad guys are getting shot, that crime does decrease as a result of that, but I don't think we're there yet.
You bring up a good point. We're going to talk about that when we get back. Coming up on the last break, tell everybody where they can find you.
I'm all over the place. Google me, you know, Google me, Rick Ector, RickEctor. I can be reached by phone. I'm at 313-733-7404. On the internet at legallyarmedindetroit.com or at detroitccw.com. Google my name, you'll find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Blogger, and a few other those social networking sites. If you're looking for me, I guarantee you'll find me.
And he's a writer, too. He writes a lot. He actually uses punctuation. He doesn't need an editor. If I write something, somebody's just about got to rewrite it just to get my main theme. You hang on. We'll be right back on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
If you own a gun, the attorneys and members of Texas Law Shield see every day how law-abiding citizens can become the victims of an anti-gun culture and a legal system that is designed to produce convictions rather than seek justice. Texas Law Shield is a firearms legal defense program dedicated to protecting legal gun owners. We offer comprehensive criminal and civil coverage with our 24/7 emergency hotline. Texas Law Shield completes your armed self-defense plan. To become a member, visit TexasLawShield.com.
For thousands of years, silver has been used as both a medicine and a preservative. But not all silver is equal. Supernatural Silver is an amazing new technology that has been clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. Supernatural silver resonates at the same frequency as germicidal light used in labs to kill bacteria and viruses. Supernatural silver is a broad-spectrum microbial that creates no resistance and does not harm beneficial bacteria, making it ideal for daily use. It can be used internally as well as topically and is highly effective against bacterias, viruses, molds, and yeast. Supernatural silver liquid and gel are perfect for on-the-go or emergency preparedness and can provide protection at home, school, or work. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and remember the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance.
Coming from Blue Force Gear, the same thing they did with weapon slings. Blue Force Gear has revolutionized the Molly Load carriage with the Helium Whisper attachment system. Pouches built with Helium Whisper technology are fully Molly compatible and are lighter, thinner, and more durable than current issue equivalents. Lighter gear enables you to move faster with less bulk, ensuring that you will survive to fight another day. Find ultralight gear with the revolutionary Helium Whisper attachment system at blueforcegear.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th, you can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling, to help you help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Veteran-owned and operated, OpsGear is your one-stop destination for all of your tactical and training needs. At OpsGear, if they sell it, they have tested it, ensuring that whatever you choose, it is a proven product. Established in 2001, OpsGear ships worldwide and offers a wide range of products, training, DVDs, and self-defense options at their new Salt Lake City location as well as online. Find them at OpsGear.com. You got the mission, we got the gear. OpsGear.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and .308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
Brady, bald and dangerous.
And welcome back as we get ready to go in the next hour. Right now, though, we're talking to Rick Ector from Rick's Firearms Academy, legally armed in Detroit. When we see this thing that's happening in Detroit where you've had this surge in successful defensive gun use, does this encourage the fence sitters to say, well, if they can do it, I can do it? Do you normally see a surge in people wanting to train?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, every time there's a, you know, like a single isolated incident of a successful defensive gun use story, you know, call volume does pick up. I would say last week the amount of interest in citizens becoming lawfully armed and trained, you know, to learn how to protect themselves, surged for me personally. You know, we've had 4 defensive gun use stories in like the last 11, 12 days. You know, in 3 of these cases, you know, 3 out of 4 it involved women, would-be victims who defended themselves. And one of the great things I like to report in all these cases, none of the victims were physically harmed, which is one of the things you'll hear naysayers say about, you know, defensive carry, that, you know what, there's no guarantee that you won't be harmed. You know what? It is a risk. It could happen, but you know what? I'd rather have a chance to defend my life than no chance at all. And in these 4 cases, you know, these 4 would-be victims successfully defended themselves A couple of bad guys got permanently retired. They won't go on to commit other atrocities in the community. And more people are inspired by that. And I want to encourage them that if they're interested, by all means, seek out someone, if not me, and protect yourself, your home, and your family.
Does it change anybody's mind? What about those people that say, I don't know. What about that? You remember that, was she an alderman or something? The one that was so anti-gun that she had to hide in the dirty laundry when her home was invaded while she was there? Does it change people's like that?
She hid under her bed.
Okay. I thought it was a dirty laundry.
And she was not too long ago, at the start of the year, she was named to the new mayor's executive staff and some official capacity. I forget what she's actually doing now, but the new mayor, you know, his background, he's been anti-gun most of his political career, so I'm glad he doesn't have direct control over the police chief and the police department. So.
Do you think Chief Craig? I would think Chief Craig. Eventually, I'm sure Detroit comes out of receivership, and then I guess maybe his job might be slightly in jeopardy because of the stance.
Yeah,
he's taken.
I personally think he's not going to be here much longer after the city is discharged from bankruptcy, or when the emergency financial manager leaves town. Our police chief probably will be gone too, and we'll have to see him. We have next. As a matter of fact, I just did an article I posted in Ammo Land, and I actually went back to look at the number of police chiefs we've had. We've had 7 police chiefs in the last 11 years here in the city of Detroit.
But that sounds like Columbia, South Carolina. Apparently, the council likes to mess with the police chiefs, don't they? Was it in Michigan where I saw this police chief that stood up in front of the council and they suspended him because they kept meddling in his office? Was that in Michigan?
I'm not sure. I'm not
even sure. I don't remember it. I remember the video. Having a police chief that'll stand up is not very good for his job security, is it? Maybe they ought to run for sheriff with that. Chief Craig should be a sheriff somewhere in Michigan.
Well, you know, in many places, you know, police chief is an appointed position. And, you know, you serve typically you serve at the pleasure of the mayor or the city manager or whoever's running a particular jurisdiction. And as such, you know, many chiefs don't have the liberty of expressing their own personal beliefs and do things the way that they would do them if they had the opportunity. Typically, you have that type of freedom in an elected position, like you mentioned, like a county sheriff. But as far as I'm concerned, he's got the right mindset and the right belief system on concealed carry. So I'm a fan, at least on that set of his beliefs. It has been mentioned, though, that he has supported some talking points on gun control, like so-called gun bans on assault weapons, whatever those are, and magazine limits, and those type of things. He hasn't said anything on those issues since being here in Detroit publicly, but, you know, he's made those statements in the past and other places he has been. You know, the one thing he has said since coming here is that he's all for law-abiding citizens, good Americans carrying guns, and that it's a good thing, it's a deterrent to crime, it can drive down crime back. So at least on that, you know, I'm a fan on that belief system. I'm not ready to anoint him, you know, the great Second Amendment advocate and gun rights freedom fighter. But right now, we'll take what we can get.
Well, I mean, I've read that he apparently had been a police chief in California. And
yeah.
When he,
you know
when
how
he got...
California is, right?
Yeah, and when he got to Maine in the beginning, he was just doing it the way he did in California, which is deny, deny, deny. But then he started looking around in Maine, and that began to sort of change his mind a little bit, is what I've read.
Yeah, I imagine it got a little hot for him in Maine when he started denying all those good American concealed carry permits, and they organized and were raising a lot of sand. And I imagine when he said, okay, I may not be here too long if I keep denying all these permits. You know, that's a different mindset than the people out in California. You know, don't get me started on those folks out there.
Well, they just had their mind changed for them, though. That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Did the people, now, did you see a surge in training when Chief Craig got out there and said that they should do that? Did that lead to a surge?
No, that didn't really lead to a surge. It was just good PR, you know, and to confirm some of the things that, you know, gun rights activists, you know, here in Southeast Michigan, such as myself, have been talking about and advertising. You know, I've had, you know, many running debates personally and in the media with previous police chiefs, you know, in the past. So, you know, it was really refreshing to see a different mindset take hold at the position of the local police department. You know, even if it's only maybe going to last maybe a ephemeral, short-lived time frame of maybe, you know, a year. But we'll take it for now.
Man, I just lost my eye. I was about to ask you something, and it completely deserted me. We got a little bit of time left. We got about 3 minutes left, I think, before the hour drops. Going forward, when all of this emerges out of bankruptcy, if you can tell me in 2 or 3 minutes, do you think that Detroit will revert back to its old ways and try to discourage people from defending themselves?
You know, I definitely hope not. You know, considering who our mayor is currently, you know, I imagine, you know, we'll probably won't hear any, you know, pro-gun statements coming out of his office or the police station. We probably will have a reversion back to, you know, this misleading process of having gun buybacks, you know, as if they are some positive impact on reducing violent crime rates. I haven't seen any here in the city of Detroit in a while. You know, I'm not going to, you know, claim victory on that. The local police station used to do them, but every time, you know, Detroit police had them, I'd be out there with like 20 or 30 activists educating the public and buying them before they could get them, you know, and that kind of thing. And we did have the Wayne County Sheriff here do a buyback last fall, and we protested that one. And then there was Highland Park ran one, you know, which is a suburb inside of Detroit, which is really interesting. But, you know, we actually bought more guns than them, and we were still operating after they shut down because they ran out of money.
I was about to say, but, when you show up at a gun buyback, it's not so much a protest. It's business.
It's both. It's, yeah. It's a protest. It's an educational exercise where you tell people, you know what, if you really don't want these guns, you can get more for them. And also,
Rick, I'm running out of time.
Okay.
We'll do that another time, though. I love the way you talk about the gun buybacks. Thank you for joining me this morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Stay safe. All right, folks, going into the third hour, coming up next, from both California and Connecticut, we will be joined by Ed Peruta on a Tuesday. This is Lock and Load.
Financial